When I was in year nine, that was about the time I decided that I was going to prepare to go to the seminary, that I wanted to be a pastor. And one of my classmates was in another church, another denomination, but he also was wanting to be a minister. And he told me, if you die committing a sin, you go straight to hell. And I was terrified. I thought, doing good things, you're not really much at risk. It's always the bad things that you're at risk. I haven't got a hope of making it to heaven. I almost quit. What's the point of going to church and Sunday school if I know I'll probably die committing a sin and go to hell anyway? That's actually false, isn't it? You know that. The risen Christ, and in our reading today, the risen Christ welcomes sinners, even in their worst suffering, their worst sin, and even at the moment of their death. Stephen was martyred about 2 years after Jesus rose from the dead, about 2 years after the first Easter. And what happened as Christians were gathering, some widows had no one to look after them. There was no pension in the ancient world. You depended on your children to feed you. And if you had no children, or you weren't getting on with them, who was going to feed you? And so they decided that they would do meals on wheels. And they delivered food to the various widows who needed food. But the community was divided. Jerusalem was a city of many languages. And among the believers, the Jewish believers and the Christian believers, some spoke Aramaic, and that was the local, traditional local language, but a lot spoke Greek, the international language. And so we had two worlds going on. And as you can imagine, pretty soon people started going like, they're looking after Aramaic widows better than they are our Greek ones. And the disciples in their wisdom decided, fine, we'll pick seven Greek guys to be the meal delivering people. The Meals on Wheels people. And so Stephen is one of those people. They're called deacons in some of the translations. So people who are meant to serve, waiters at a restaurant, deacons. And so Stephen is one of those. But Stephen starts sharing his faith. So he goes from being just a Meals on Wheels delivery guy to sharing his faith, particularly with some of the Greek-speaking people in Jerusalem. So his faith is growing from being just a food delivery guy. And finally, he's arrested for sharing his faith. And he goes before Caiaphas. Remember, that's the one who was in charge of the trial when Jesus was arrested? And he's in front of the same Sanhedrin. So that's 2 years ago. History's repeating itself. And there are false witnesses, once again, just like in Jesus' trial. And they say that Stephen is speaking against the temple and against God's law. So he's wanting to get rid of the temple, wanting to destroy the temple, and he's against the Ten Commandments and other commandments like that. Caiaphas finally asks him, are these charges true? And Stephen begins a sermon, as you would. And he talks about how God's people throughout the years have resisted God, generation after generation. They've always resisted the Holy Spirit. And people are nodding their head as he goes along and says, there's Joseph, and of course his brothers sold him into slavery. Or there's Moses, and the people complained against Moses. And that most of the prophets in the Old Testament were murdered by the people because they would get upset at what they said and then build monuments to them afterwards. And even when God finally sent his promised Savior, the Messiah, you killed him. This is where the people suddenly, it's not funny anymore. We resist God too. In the same way, we're unwilling to change our ways often. God sometimes leads us or calls us or guides us to do things that we don't want to stand out or don't want to be risky. We're not the good people we wish we were. We're not people who are good who just need a bit of improvement. We actually have problems inside ourselves. We all resist God and his Holy Spirit in various ways. And we see God's people's resistance to God not only in the book of Acts, but in our world today. The murder of the Kamanji baby, little baby, or war crimes, and we see them every night, war crimes in Gaza, Ukraine, Iran. Sin at its worst, and it's always the same, isn't it? The news never changes. It's always like that. We live in a broken world. And so he ends up in his sermon saying, you are just like your fathers. You always resist the Holy Spirit. When they hear this, they have two choices. Caiaphas, the high priest, and the crowd have two choices. They can repent and admit that, yes, they have resisted God, or they can get rid of Stephen. It's a lot easier to get rid of Stephen than it is to repent. So when they put their hands over their ears, they began shouting so they wouldn't be able to hear him, rushed at Stephen and dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. So this is a mob action. This is like when you saw on television the riots in Alice Springs. This is what's happening. This is no longer a court case. Jesus' trial was a court case, and he was condemned officially by the court. This is a mob action, a lynching. But the risen Christ reigns. As the stones are falling, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, has a vision. He says, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the place of honor at God's right hand. For Stephen, the vision of his Savior is more real than the anger of his enemies. But why is Jesus standing? Jesus had prophesied. He said, I am the Messiah, and you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of God, the place of power at God's right hand, and coming in the clouds of heaven. But Stephen sees him standing. When someone comes to your house, you don't say, sitting in front of the television, do you? You get up and walk to the door and welcome them. The risen Christ is welcoming Stephen. He's got out of his throne to welcome Stephen. The judge of the world stands for Stephen. We call Stephen a saint, but he needs to be forgiven just like everyone else. All saints. Saint just means a forgiven person. We all fail. And so Paul says, for everyone has sinned, including the saints. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. The one that they crucified is the ruler of the universe. When Jesus died, he said, receive my spirit. And Stephen also. As they stoned him, Stephen prayed, Lord, receive my spirit. How can he say that? Because Jesus had already taken away his sins on the cross. He had already forgiven him. Jesus stands for sinners. Jesus stands to forgive sinners. Jesus welcomes sinners to heaven. Why? In our second reading, when John has the vision of heaven, and there he sees the millions of people dressed in white robes, and he asks, who are they? And the angel says, they're the ones who washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. Their sins have been forgiven. They are cleansed. That's why Stephen is accepted into heaven and why you and I will be accepted into heaven. Not because we are better than somebody else. It's not a contest. It's because we have a Savior who died on the cross to wash away our sins. Stephen doesn't call for justice and revenge. Jesus died for Stephen, forgave Stephen, and because we forgive as we have been forgiven, so he forgives the people who are stoning him, that mob, that lynching mob. Because Jesus has already dealt with sin on the cross, Christ bore the guilt of people who resist God, and death is conquered. Growing up, there was a prayer that my parents taught me, and some of you may have known that too. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And these days the rest is censored. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. It was actually based on this sort of thinking. And in past generations, about half the children died before they grew up. This was a real issue. And so they wanted to go like, you are safe. The same Jesus that welcomed Stephen will welcome you. So, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Jesus has already dealt with Stephen's sin and with our sin. Death is conquered. And so he can fall asleep in peace, trusting that Jesus will look after him. Turns out that Saul, who we usually call Paul, was one of the people at this stoning. He was the guy who looked after everyone's clothes. They took off their fancy top, their jackets, so that they could stone Stephen. And he was guarding those and egging the crowd on, really agreed with what was happening. But Stephen's example of dying in faith and believing in Jesus actually disturbed Paul. He wasn't converted yet, but he was shaken. Paul the persecutor became Paul the preacher, the missionary, and wrote 13 books in the Bible. Paul the enemy becomes the apostle. The one who approved of Stephen's death finally proclaims a resurrected Savior. No one is beyond God's mercy. No one is beyond Christ's mercy. We also resist God's leading, just as the people of Jesus at Stephen's time. We sin. All of us have guilt and shame in various ways, but the risen Christ welcomes sinners. And when my friend said, if you die committing a sin, it's irrelevant. Yes, we probably are more likely to die. Well, I don't know if it's really true, but you know, as a teenager, I went, I'm more likely to die committing doing something wrong. It would be irrelevant. It's not like an exam, you know. Every Friday we had an algebra exam. I used to get sick on Friday mornings. Algebra was just way beyond me, you know. X over Y and all that sort of stuff. Nah, it just didn't make any sense. This is not like an exam. This is our Savior rising from his seat to welcome us home where we belong and where our friends have gone and belong, and we will one day join them too. It's not because you have been faithful enough. It's because he has been faithful enough. It's not because you have always listened. It's because he has died and risen for you, and his blood makes us clean. And that was that vision that John saw. All those people who were really sinners, but covered in the blood of the Lamb and dressed in white robes. The risen Christ welcomes sinners, you and me. He has risen. He has risen indeed. He has risen.